Power Shift in the House.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The Democrats haven't been in the majority in the U.S. House since 1994. That all changed last night. They picked up enough seats to make Nancy Pelosi the first female Speaker of the House. And as you know, the question of who will control the Senate is still up in the air. Races in Montana and Virginia are too close to call. We'll look at the economic impact of the midterm elections in a few moments. In a little over an hour, Federated Department Stores will release its third quarter figures. Federated owns both Macy's and Bloomingdale's. There's a lot of interest in the chain's earnings. Many analysts feel it will be an early sign of how retailers will do during the coming Christmas season. But the figures may say more about how Federated is integrating its recent acquisitions. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli has a story.
Federated got a slight case of indigestion trying to swallow 500 former May Company stores. That acquisition more than doubled Federated's retail outlets. Retail analyst Patty Edwards says loyal May shoppers still miss their old standbys.
Part of that is due to the fact that the May Company stores served a consumer that was used to a slightly different set of merchandise, just a little bit downscale from the normal Macy's and Bloomingdale's consumer. And the May Company consumer has not yet responded the way they had hoped.
Edwards thinks Federated can overcome that. She says the former May Company stores are getting a facelift as well as a merchandise makeover. And she says department stores can't make someone else's loyal customers theirs overnight.
I think they can do it over time. It's just going to be a process, not an event.
Federated's success at that and at spinning off some acquisition properties it never wanted will say a lot about its near to midterm future. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Anybody who eats almonds or walnuts regularly knows they've been getting pretty expensive lately. And now the theft of nuts before they even make it to the grocery store is driving the industry, well, you know. California farmers produce 80% of the world's almonds. They've seen at least $1.5 million worth of almonds stolen, like the 44,000 pounds of processed almonds that were nut-napped from a distribution center in California. It could be called the Swiss Army knife of gadgets. Samsung has unveiled a new device. It's part PC, part cell phone, and part MP3 player. From the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
The one-pound mobile intelligent terminal has a pull-out keyboard, a 5-inch screen, and a 30-gig hard drive. It's tailored for an emerging wireless broadband technology called WiMAX that offers super-fast broadband over wireless and mobile connections. Some say such do-it-all gadgets could one day replace Apple's iPod as the new consumer favorite. But Brian Fuller with electronics guide EE Times doesn't think Samsung's device can compete with the iPod just yet.
Yeah, it's going to be more robust. Is it going to take off for the consumers? I don't think so, because there have been devices out there that have tried to be all things to all people, and they really haven't taken off.
Fuller says the Samsung gadget is just a showcase for WiMAX technology. The device will hit store shelves in South Korea early next year. No word yet on when it will be available in the U.S. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Now, the pre-election market was upbeat yesterday. The Dow climbed 51 points to 12,156. The Nasdaq rose 9 points to 2375. And the S&P 500 was up 3 points at 1382. And this is Marketplace. India has the world's most burdensome tax laws. That's the verdict of a new study by PricewaterhouseCoopers and the World Bank. Miranda Kennedy reports from New Delhi. That's not good for business.
If you were to measure tax legislation by the number of pages it takes to explain it, India has the most, 9,000. The U.S. has about half that number. Vivek Mishra, a tax specialist with Ernst & Young, says India's laws are so tangled and lengthy that U.S. companies have a tough time understanding them.
What needs to be changed is simplifying the laws, and there's a whole bunch of laws that one should just get rid of.
Not only that, but companies in India have to shell out as much as 81% of their profits in tax. In some cases, U.S. companies operating here pay even more tax than Indian firms do. The study says simplifying tax laws would increase productivity and cut down on corruption. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The results of yesterday's congressional races will certainly affect economic policy in Washington. To take a look at the impact, I'm joined by our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mark.
John, the new Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has said the Democrats want to impose a windfall profits tax on oil companies. It's one thing to say that. How difficult will it be to do it, and what could the economic impact be?
Well, it's going to be very difficult, especially given the fact that there's a former oil man still in the White House for the next 2 years. And the new Democrats have a much more moderate taint to them than the more liberal Democrats who would try to tax the oil companies. But that being said, there is more talk about taxing petroleum to pay for renewable alternative fuels. Now, remember, Californians yesterday rejected a new tax on gasoline to fund alternatives. So this is going to be a tough issue for the Democrats.
With the House now going over to the Democrats, can you talk about the kind of control that party will now have in terms of appropriations and running committees?
Well, several long-serving liberals will now take over the tax writing committee. For example, Ways and Means will be headed by Charles Rangel, who famously said during the campaign that he's not sure any of President Bush's tax cuts should be made permanent. The Financial Services Committee will be headed by Barney Frank of Massachusetts, who favors stronger powers for shareholders to limit CEO compensation. Wisconsin's David Obie will take over at Appropriations, and he's long been a thorn in the side for Republicans.
John, you referred to the California vote on the oil tax. There are a lot of other economic initiatives across the country. Can you give us a wrap-up?
Missouri, California rejected some pretty steep extra taxes on tobacco, although South Dakota voted yes to hike taxes on tobacco products.
A measure to support stem cell research was on the ballot in Missouri. How did voters decide there?
They decided to go along with this. That was supposedly helped out the Democratic challenger there, Claire McCaskill. Stem cell research generally across the country gets more support from the electorate, and that held true in Missouri, which would expand the use of embryos for research into finding cures for diseases.
And what has to have been one of the more unusual ideas on the ballot, residents in Arizona had a measure that would have entered all registered voters in the lottery with a chance to win $1 million. The idea was that this would encourage more people to vote. What happened there?
Well, it was pretty soundly defeated, 66 to 34. The opponents said, you know, it's kind of wrong to offer a prize for just exercising your constitutional right and some say responsibility to vote. It's interesting, had it passed, the chances of winning would have been better than the regular lottery.
John Dimsdale is our Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
I guess the government in Iran is...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.